Okay, today we're digging into something huge, really huge. Over 16 billion stolen credentials. That's spread across 30 different data sets, hitting major platforms. I mean, places you use every day: Apple, Telegram, Facebook, loads of them. Cyber news experts are calling this, and it's hard to argue, one of the largest credential exposures, well, ever. Now, even for those of us who follow this stuff closely, 16 billion. That number really makes you stop and think, right? So this deep dive, what we want to do is cut through the noise, give you the absolute critical takeaways from this monumental breach. Not just what happened, but why it matters, like directly to you, and most importantly, what concrete steps you can actually take. Right now, our mission today is pretty clear: equip you with the essential tools, the knowledge you need to, well, shore up your digital defenses. Okay, let's unpack this, because this deep dive is all about giving you a strategic roadmap to stay secure online.
Yeah, and what's really critical to grasp here, I think, is the sophistication involved, how these credentials were actually stolen. This wasn't, a simple hack of one big company. This data comes from info stealers.
Info stealers.
Right, it's a type of malware, malicious software. It operates silently, gets onto individual devices, maybe vulnerable websites too, and it just systematically collects login info. We're talking the website URL, your username or email, and your password for that site.
Wow. So it's grabbing everything needed to log in.
Exactly. It's coordinated, large-scale data harvesting. Much more complex than just someone guessing a weak password,
That really explains why the scale is just, it's mind-boggling. When we talk about this breach, it's not just that 16 billion number as one big lump. It's actually spread across 30 separate databases. And get this, the largest single data set in there, 3.5 billion records just on its own.
3.5 billion.
And the targeting was incredibly wide, like 60 million Telegram accounts specifically hit, 445 million Russian credentials exposed, and a massive amount of data from Portuguese-speaking populations compromised too. But like you said, the volume is only part of it. What makes this breach feel different, more dangerous maybe, is what we're calling the sophistication factor.
Right. Maybe connect this to the bigger picture. Well, this isn't just a tech problem anymore, is it? It's really a societal one. This sophistication factor means, first off, cross-platform vulnerability. That username and password stolen from one minor site, criminals are now trying it everywhere else you might have an account.
Because people reuse passwords.
Exactly. And what's really alarming now is how it supercharges phishing. It's not just generic emails anymore. They have your actual username for a specific site, maybe more. So the fake login page looks incredibly convincing.
Much harder to spot.
Much harder. And it enables automated attacks on an industrial scale. Bots just hammering sites with these stolen credentials and the affected platforms. It's everything: social media, tech giants, banks, e-commerce, government services, even healthcare systems. It's broad.
Okay, so that really underscores why your personal defense strategy is so critical, maybe more critical now than ever before. The good news, though, is there are clear, actionable things you can do, things that make a real difference. First up, and honestly, this is pretty much non-negotiable now: password manager implementation. These aren't just convenient anymore. They're essential security tools. They create unique, really complex passwords for every single account. They can spot breaches and alert you. They store everything securely, encrypted, and sync across your devices. It's seamless.
It really raises the question, doesn't it? If they're so vital, why isn't everyone using one already? And there are great options out there for, whatever your needs are. For free options, if you're in the Apple ecosystem, Apple Passwords is built right in. Google has its password manager for Chrome users. And Bitwarden's fantastic. It's free, open source, works everywhere. That open source aspect gives it a lot of transparency, which is good.
Open source is definitely a plus for trust.
Yeah. And then for premium, you've got things like 1Password, which has advanced features, good for families or businesses. Dashlane offers great security monitoring. LastPass is another strong player, especially in businesses.
So, password manager is step one: lock down those unique passwords. What's the next layer? That brings us to another really key element: two-factor authentication, 2FA. And crucially, we need to talk about moving beyond just SMS texts for codes. A lot of people still rely on that.
Yeah, SMS is definitely better than nothing, let's be clear. But it has that vulnerability to SIM swapping.
Explain SIM swapping quickly.
Sure. It's where criminals basically trick your phone company into transferring your number to their SIM card. And they start getting your 2FA code sent via text.
Right, bypassing your security.
Exactly. So we strongly recommend moving to app-based authenticators, things like Google Authenticator, Microsoft Authenticator. Apple has built in 2FA code generation now too. Authy is another popular one. It has cloud backup, which can be handy.
And for even more security.
For your really critical accounts, email, banking, maybe work stuff. Hardware security keys are the gold standard. Things like YubiKeys, Google's Titan keys, or any key that supports the FIDO2 standard. That's the industry benchmark for secure, often passwordless, logins.
Okay, password manager, stronger 2FA, and then there's something that feels like the next evolution, something that's actually here now. Passkey technology.
Yes, passkeys. What's really fascinating here is how this tech fundamentally changes the game. For sites that support them, passkeys get rid of the password altogether.
No password at all.
Nope. Instead, you authenticate using biometrics on your device. Face ID, Touch ID, fingerprint reader, whatever you have. It uses cryptography behind the scenes, matching a key on your device with one the service has. It's also phishing resistant because the key is tied to the specific website.
So you can't be tricked into using it on a fake site.
Precisely. And they sync securely across your devices. We're seeing wider adoption now. Apple ID, Google accounts, Microsoft, PayPal, Adobe. The list is growing.
That sounds like a significant step up. Now, beyond those core three manager, 2FA, passkeys, are there other maybe more advanced things people should consider? You hear about things like hide my email services.
Yeah, definitely. Those are great for protecting your main email address. Services like Apple's Hide My Email, Firefox Relay, DuckDuckGo email protection, they give you unique disposable email aliases for signing up to different services. And yeah. So if one of the services gets breached or sells your address, it doesn't expose your real email. Cuts down on spam too.
Smart.
And then for people who might be at higher risk, think public figures, executives, political folks, implementing physical security keys becomes even more important. That means using those hardware keys we mentioned, like YubiKeys, for all critical accounts, having backups stored safely, maybe even rotating keys periodically. It's about layers of security.
Okay, that's a lot of great defense tools. So translating that into action, what does this all mean for your daily routine? How do you implement this without feeling overwhelmed? We've broken it down into some immediate action steps. Think of it as a manageable plan. Step one, audit your current security. Maybe set aside, say, 15 minutes. Check your password manager, any duplicates lurking in there, any really old weak ones. Look at your key accounts, email, banking, work. Do they all have 2FA enabled? Which ones don't? Identify those critical accounts that need top priority.
That audit is a really crucial first step. Know where you stand.
Exactly. Then step two, enable key security features. Maybe block out 30 minutes for this. Go through and turn on 2FA everywhere it's offered, prioritizing app-based or hardware keys. Set up passkeys where you can major platforms are rolling this out. Turn on breach monitoring in your password manager if it has it. Most good ones do now. And just double check your basic device security, screen locks, biometrics enabled.
Simple but effective steps.
Right. And finally, step three. Create a security maintenance schedule. Because this isn't a set it and forget it thing, is it?
Definitely not. It needs ongoing attention.
So maybe weekly, glance at any alerts from your password manager. See if any services you use added better 2FA or passkey support. Monthly. Perhaps update passwords for your most critical accounts, especially if not using passkeys yet. Clean out old, unused accounts you don't need. Check again for passkey adoption. And then quarterly, maybe do a slightly bigger audit. Update security questions or recovery emails. Review the devices authorized to access your accounts.
That kind of regular check-in makes a huge difference. It keeps security top of mind. And while we're talking about building good habits, it's probably worth touching on common mistakes. Things people often do, maybe without realizing the risk. Are you making any of these?
Good point. What are the big pitfalls?
Well, password errors are still huge. Reusing passwords, that's the big one, especially given credential stuffing. Using personal info, birthdays, names, storing passwords in your browser without a strong master password protecting them, sharing passwords insecurely like over email or chat.
Yeah, see those all the time.
Then with 2FA, relying only on SMS is a common mistake given SIM swapping. Not backing up your authenticator app codes if you lose your phone, you could be locked out. Using the same 2FA method for everything maybe makes you vulnerable if that one method is compromised. And ignoring those backup codes the service gives you when you set up 2FA. Keep those safe.
Those backup codes are lifesavers sometimes.
They really are. And just general oversights. Ignoring software updates, those often patch security holes. Using public Wi-Fi for banking without a VPN. Clicking dodgy links in emails. Giving out info over the phone to someone you didn't call.
All basic hygiene, but easily forgotten.
Exactly.
Okay, that leads really nicely into some common questions we get whenever a massive breach like this hits the news. First one, probably the most common. How do I know if my credentials were part of this specific 16 billion record leak?
Right. So the best ways are, one, enable breach monitoring in your password manager. If it offers it, it'll often check your saved credentials against known breaches. 2, you can manually check your email addresses on a reputable site like haveibeenpwned.com. 3, keep a close eye on your important accounts for any weird activity, unexpected emails, login alerts. And 4, make sure you have login alerts enabled on critical services like your email and bank accounts.
Okay, so check Have I Been Pwned, use manager monitoring, stay vigilant. Got it. Next question. Given this huge number, should I just freak out and change all my passwords right now?
Uh-huh. Understandable reaction, but probably not the most effective approach. Focus strategically. Change passwords immediately for your most critical accounts. Primary email, banking, work accounts, password manager, master password, definitely. Prioritize changing passwords on any account that doesn't have 2FA enabled. Those are most vulnerable. Use your password manager to hunt down and change any reused passwords first. That tackles the credential stuffing risk directly. So be systematic, not panicked.
Makes sense. Prioritize. Okay, what about SMS-based 2FA? We talked about the risks, but is it still worth using at all?
Yes, absolutely. It's still valuable. It's significantly better than no 2FA. Think of it as a baseline. The advice is to upgrade to app-based or hardware keys whenever possible, especially for sensitive accounts. But if SMS is the only option offered, use it. It still stops a lot of basic attacks.
Better than nothing, but aim higher if you can.
Exactly. Maybe use it as a backup method if the service allows multiple 2FA options.
Okay. How often should people generally be updating passwords? Is there a rule of thumb?
It depends a bit. Definitely change them immediately if you get a breach notification affecting an account. For critical business accounts, some policies still mandate every 90 days, though unique strong passwords make this less critical than it used to be. For most personal accounts, if you're using strong, unique passwords generated by a manager, changing them annually is probably sufficient unless there's a known breach or suspicion. And obviously, change immediately if you think an account might be compromised.
So the focus is more on unique and strong rather than just frequent changes.
Precisely. A strong, unique password changed less often is better than a weak one changed constantly.
Good clarification. What should I do if I check Have I Been Pwned or get an alert and find my info is in a data breach?
Okay, don't panic, but act promptly. 1, change the password for that specific account immediately. Make it strong and unique. 2, enable 2FA on that account right away if you haven't already. Use an app or key if possible. 3, monitor the account closely for any unauthorized activity. Check login history, settings, etc. 4, update any security questions or recovery info associated with that account, as those might have been exposed too. And 5, if financial information like a credit card number was part of the breach, seriously consider freezing your credit with the major bureaus.
Okay, clear steps. Now, a question about the tool itself. Are password managers actually safe to use? We hear about breaches sometimes, even involving them.
That's a fair question, and yeah, we hear it a lot. If we connect this to the bigger picture, they absolutely remain your strongest ally. Here's why. They store your passwords in a heavily encrypted format, often called a vault. Even if the provider's servers were somehow compromised, the thieves would likely only get scrambled data without your master password.
So the master password is key.
It's a key to your kingdom, yes. Make it strong and unique. Also, because they generate unique passwords for every site, if one site you use gets breached, the damage is contained. That password won't unlock your other accounts. And reputable password manager companies undergo regular, tough, independent security audits to verify their practices. So yes, despite occasional incidents, which are usually handled transparently, they're by far the safest way to manage passwords today.
Good to have that reassurance. Let's circle back to passkeys quickly. Can you explain again simply how they work and why they're considered more secure?
Sure. Think of it like a digital key pair. When you register a passkey with a website, your device, your phone or computer, creates two linked keys. A private key, stored securely on your device, and a public key stored by the website. To log in, the website sends a challenge. Your device uses its private key, unlocked by your Face ID, fingerprint, or PIN, to sign that challenge, proving it's you on your device, and sends the signature back. The website verifies this using your public key.
So the password itself never travels.
Exactly. No secret is transmitted that could be intercepted or phished. The private key never leaves your device. And it's cryptographically tied to the specific website, so you can't accidentally use it on a fake phishing site. That's the core security advantage.
Okay, that makes sense. What's the difference then between a data breach like this big one and credential stuffing? We hear both terms.
Good distinction. A data breach is when information stored by a company gets exposed, like the 16 billion credentials database we're talking about. Usernames, passwords, emails, etc. are leaked from a company's servers. Credential stuffing is what criminals do with that breach data. They take lists of usernames and passwords from a breach, say, website A, and use automated tools to try those same combinations on website B, website C, your bank, your email, everywhere.
Hoping people reuse their passwords.
Precisely. This massive 16 billion record breach is like a giant ammunition cache for credential stuffing attacks. That's why unique passwords managed by a password manager are your primary defense against your other accounts being compromised by a breach somewhere else.
Got it. Breach exposes the data. Stuffing uses the data. Should small businesses be worried about this, or is it mainly a consumer problem?
Oh, absolutely. Small businesses should be concerned. Deeply concerned. Think about it. If your employees' work email credentials or logins for shared business tools are in this breach because they reused a password from a personal site, your business systems are suddenly vulnerable. Customer data handled by your business could be at risk. There are huge regulatory fines, reputational damage. It can be devastating for a small business.
Yeah.
So implementing strong password policies, mandating password managers for employees, and enforcing 2FA on all business accounts isn't just for big corporations. It's crucial for SMBs too.
A really vital point for business owners listening. And one last practical question. How can I help protect family members, maybe older parents or kids who aren't very tech savvy? This all sounds complex.
Yeah, that's a challenge for many people. The key is simplification and automation where possible. Help them set up a user-friendly password manager, maybe one with a family plan. Configure it to autofill passwords. Make sure their devices, phones, tablets, computers are set to automatically install software updates. That handles patching vulnerabilities. Use the built-in security features on their devices, screen locks. Maybe simple biometrics if they're comfortable. You could even create a really simple checklist for them. Use the password manager. Don't click weird links. Ask me if unsure. Focus on the absolute core habits. Make it less intimidating.
Good advice. Keep it simple. Automate what you can.
Exactly. And just to give a bit more context, a breach like this has massive ripple effects beyond just us as individuals. There's significant industry impact. Businesses face huge costs from customer data exposure, potential lawsuits, regulatory fines under things like GDPR in Europe or CCPA in California. Brand reputation takes a massive hit. Operations can be seriously disrupted. And we see governments responding too, tightening data protection laws, pushing for stronger cybersecurity standards, especially for critical infrastructure. What's fascinating here is how this whole landscape is just constantly shifting, right? And we're seeing new threats emerge all the time, like AI-powered attacks.
Right. AI is the big buzzword everywhere. How is it impacting cybersecurity threats?
Well, AI is unfortunately becoming a powerful tool for attackers too. They can use it to generate incredibly convincing phishing emails tailored specifically to individuals, much better than the old clumsy attempts. We're seeing deepfake audio and video used for social engineering. Imagine getting a call that sounds exactly like your boss asking for a wire transfer.
That's terrifying.
It is. AI can also make credential stuffing attacks smarter, adapting to defenses. It can analyze behavior to launch attacks at the most opportune moments. So, in response, the security industry is moving towards what's called zero-trust security models.
Zero trust.
Yeah, the old model is kind of a castle and moat. Once you are inside the network, you are trusted. Zero trust assumes no one is trusted by default, inside or outside. It operates on the principle of never trust, always verify. Every user, every device has to constantly prove who they are and that they should have access to specific resources. It involves things like enforcing least privilege access, only the minimum needed, continuous monitoring of everything, and breaking networks into tiny segments called microsegmentation.
So constantly verifying everything, essentially.
Basically, yes. It's a fundamental shift in how we approach security architecture.
Okay, this has been incredibly insightful, but I can see how some listeners might feel, well, a bit overwhelmed by all this. It's important to remember, professional help is available if you need it, right? Like the technicians mentioned in our sources, there are cybersecurity experts out there.
Absolutely.
When should someone consider calling in a pro?
Good question. Definitely consider it if you discover your information was part of a major breach and you're not sure how to respond fully. If you're trying to implement robust security measures for your business. If you suspect your accounts or devices have already been compromised. For conducting regular, really thorough security audits, maybe annually for a business or high-risk individual. Or if you want help setting up more advanced things like hardware security keys or family-wide password management, don't hesitate to seek expert help.
Great advice. Okay, so let's wrap this deep dive up. The discovery of these 16 billion stolen credentials. It's a stark, maybe unprecedented reminder of the risks in our digital world. But I think the core message, the really important takeaway from our discussion today, is that effective protection is possible. It's absolutely within your reach.
That's exactly right. It boils down to those key actions we discussed. Adopt unique, strong passwords for every single account, ideally using a password manager. Enable robust two-factor authentication, move beyond just SMS where you can, and start embracing modern features like passkeys as they become more available. These steps provide incredibly strong protection against the most common credential-based attacks. And just remember, cybersecurity isn't a one-time setup, it's an ongoing process. Regular updates, occasional audits, just staying aware of the landscape.
Your digital security truly is in your hands. So here's a final thought to leave you with. Given everything we've learned today, especially about these rapidly evolving threats like AI-powered attacks, how will you ensure your own vigilance, your own security practices evolve just as quickly? What's one new security habit you'll commit to implementing, maybe starting today, knowing what you now know?